I like this one very much. I was looking on the internet and it seemed to have had quite bad press from all sorts of critics over the years, especially when it was released originally after Mervyn Peake's death. But I really liked it. It was very different from the other two, less of a fantasy adventure, less fighting, I suppose, than the other two. But I think it has a lot more human story to it. I like the humanity of this one. It seems to be far more accessible. So I'm hoping that maybe it has a new lease of life. I think it's quite interesting that there was such a long period between the first two and the third one in terms of the time when they were written. And it seems to me that Mervyn Peake perhaps had grown himself as a person, and maybe he was going through being ill, was going back to his past, which is almost Titus going back to his past. And when he sees his past, he realizes that maybe what he was searching for wasn't all that great in the first place, and that he had to go through that experience of being in a new, modern, fast-paced society with technology, which is reminiscent of Fritz Lang, H.G. Wells, Metropolis. It's that vision of the future, whether it's dystopic. It probably is a dystopia, really. But then again, Gormenghast is no utopia. I think all three books, the locations are rather dystopic. But what's interesting about it is that the modern world which we're presented with somehow is not antithesis to Gormenghast, but it's another way of seeing how people react and relate to one another. But what Mervyn Peake doesn't do is he doesn't judge either. He doesn't, I don't think, have any commentary himself on what he thinks of the old-fashioned way or the hierarchy from the first one with royalty, or going through to the third one where it's moneyed people and capitalism and commercialism have become the new gods, the new monarch, if you like. He doesn't really comment on whether he approves of it or not, or what he thinks is better. He just tells it how it is, saying, "This is the way I see the world at the moment." And it's his little journey in dealing with it himself, which I think is rather nice because it leaves it ambiguous as to what his opinion is and leaves you, the reader slash listener, to apply it to your own world and your own circumstances. I think that the choice of making the setting, if you like, of this third book with an American approach in terms of the characters' voices was for a number of reasons, one of which was to differentiate between the New World and the Old World. And obviously, America was very much the New World in the 40s and 50s with FDR's New Deal, and America was the promised land. A lot of people were moving to the States and emigrating there in the 40s and 50s post-war, after the depression of the war, and obviously the economic depression of the 30s as well, but certainly the Second World War. And I think that Mervyn Peake may have possibly, I obviously don't know this, but may have possibly have had some city like New York in mind when he wrote this. And so I thought it might be interesting to give a different approach, so that the first two books you have very much characters from England, and you have sort of Cockneys and Northerners and people from Bristol and everything, and there's that feeling of country and regional accents. But yet with this one, bringing New World accents into it, you then have a sense that these people are pioneers. They are people who've moved from the Old World to the New World, that it is a place of freedom, and that the New World does operate by its own rules, because everybody who lives in the New World, apart from the indigenous peoples of various countries, obviously are the pioneers and the conquistadors and the, bad or good or whatever it is. They're there to stay, and they build these cities and make the best of it, start from scratch, and town planning and city planning. So I thought doing an American would be quite interesting. Yes, the description of the city which is set, and we don't know the name of the city, which I think is quite interesting that he didn't nominate it. The description of its look and its style did give an impression of Art Deco mixed with sort of a futuristic sense as well. He describes chimneys and smoke and factories with smoke, and obviously we try to live in a smoke-free environment now, and we have central heating and etc. But obviously when Mervyn Peake wrote the book technology hadn't advanced the way it had, so he only knew coal and etc. But he still juxtaposes it with glass towers and aeroplanes with no wings, rockets. Mervyn Peake's vision of the future was that there'd be flying aeroplanes with no wings that don't seem to have to take off or land on a runway and just go up. So that was quite bizarre, which makes it a little bit science fiction-y and fantastical in that sense. But certainly the decor, that feeling of the 1920s and the 1930s, New York with all the bright lights and the people having a good time and the decadence of it all, is certainly in the book.